A hacker group called Lizard Squad finds a backdoor into federal computer networks. It's leveraging university supercomputers that also have access to government data. Jonathan Katz is director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center at the University of Maryland. He's working on figuring out all the different ways hackers like Lizard Squad can penetrate agency networks. Jonathan, thank you very much for coming on the program today. How did we learn about Lizard Squad and the way that they're trying to get in, kind of get in the back door of federal networks? Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here. Actually, I want to say that there was nothing specific here about academic networks that allowed this attack. In this particular instance, they took over a network of computers. It happened to be a system of academic computers, but it could have just as well have been computers anywhere else at a corporation or anywhere else in the world. So the fact that in this particular case it was an academic institution seems to just be a random fact in this particular story.
And I think that's worth pointing out because certainly the contact that federal government networks have is not limited to contractors and it's not limited to academia. That information moves back and forth in a number of different ways. And what the people inside government are telling me is that as their defenses harden, that attackers will look for whatever they can find, wherever they're going to try to probe and ping and find any kind of vulnerability that they can. Is that something that people in academia are seeing as well?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, really what's happening is that these attackers are looking for the weakest link, and wherever they can find that, they'll grab a toehold and then use that to leverage those systems and resources to attack other systems like the federal government. And within academia, we have particular challenges because we want to maintain a culture of openness, a culture of sharing. It's something that is very unique to academia, and we can't take some of the steps that industry or government might take. And this does make our networks, I guess, inherently more difficult to defend.
What is the holdback, the holdup for you to be able to take some of those steps, Jonathan?
Well, just as an example, where academics have a very strong feeling regarding freedom of speech. So we're not willing to monitor student connections to the internet. We're not willing to monitor students' email. And on the same token, we're unwilling to restrict access to websites out there, like some companies might be doing. We also have a very fluid environment here. We have a constant stream of visitors coming to our campus, and we'd like to be able to provide them some kind of access to our wireless networks, for example. And again, that situation is very different from what you might find in a company, where they can be very careful about who comes in the door, who connects to their network. They can monitor their employees' email much more easily, and they can choose to restrict access to potentially malicious websites.
Do you have or could you build partitions, I guess is the best word I can think of, to provide the level of access that you want for your students and faculty and also provide the level of security that may be more appropriate for preventing a potential backdoor situation?
Yeah, you definitely can do that, and that's the direction that universities are moving. So we have wireless networks, we have student networks, we have networks for the researchers on campus who might be working with proprietary information or restricted information. And so you definitely do want to isolate those, and Maryland and other universities are taking steps in that direction.
What is the progress of that? Is that something that is at the beginning, middle, almost complete stage, or do we even have a sense of that?
Well, it really depends on the university. As you know, the University of Maryland was hit by a series of attacks over the past year, and since that time, we've taken significant steps here to improve the security on our campus. But at other universities, they may not have yet thought about it. They may be still behind the curve.
I find that that dialogue interesting that I'm sure is going on within the academic community because it's not that dramatically different than what the government is undertaking. Certainly, the Obama administration has emphasized the importance of releasing as much data as possible, and the position that agencies are supposed to take now is that data should be open unless one can give a good reason why it shouldn't be, and also the privacy concerns that agencies have to deal with seem to be a similar parallel to of what you're talking about access and freedom of speech issues and so on, Jonathan. Is that a fair observation on my part?
Well, I think it's a good observation, but you have to keep in mind that the government networks comprise many different networks, right? You have just the open unclassified networks, and then you have the more classified DoD networks. And the amount, the types of controls you can have on those networks might be different. So you talked about the fact that government might want data to be open unless a convincing or compelling reason can be shown otherwise. But of course, within classified networks, none of that data is available to the public, and so there they can take other steps that they couldn't take on an unclassified network.
What is the collaboration relationship like, and how is it trending with the federal government and with other public sector organizations, Jonathan? Is it improving, neutral, not improving? What's that look like right now?
Well, it's improving. It's a work in progress. I think, as you know, Obama has been pushing for greater sharing of information between the government and the private sector. So he definitely wants to move in that direction, but it's really there are steps being taken already to share that information, but clearly he wants to improve that and increase it.
Are there other cybersecurity challenges that are either unique or special to the academic sector that maybe federal agencies could learn lessons from the ways that you're dealing with them?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think we have obviously a very large and diverse population, which is something shared with the government. We also have just this problem of keeping track of all the information here because we have different departments on campus, each of them potentially managing their own data without necessarily being very careful about coordinating that with any central authority. And I'm not an expert on exactly what's going on inside the government networks, but I'm sure that there you have a similar problem where you might have the same copies of data being found on multiple servers within multiple agencies, and having a central point person who can coordinate all that and make sure efforts are not being duplicated would be very useful there as well.
Yeah, it's that situation is prevalent in government where it's kind of like the old days where someone would create a document and 10 people would make changes to it, and there was no way to see what each of those 10 people had done. There's no transparency there to see how anyone has developed it, and nobody knows what the current one is.
Yeah, and it's even worse because you may have that document that 10 people have looked at and downloaded and maybe modified or maybe not, and then you want to delete that document because it contains some personal information, and one of those copies gets deleted, but you've still got 9 copies floating around.
Yes, that's something that agencies are dealing with. And the other challenge that agencies are dealing with, and I wonder if it's the same in the academic sector, is just the sheer volume of stuff and the different types. It's not just pieces of information that we'd see in a document or a spreadsheet or something like that. Proliferation of data in the form of audio and video and other kinds of information that agencies are trying to figure out how to manage.
Yeah, that's right. And it's also, of course, all being sent over email, and we have large volumes of email being stored almost indefinitely in some cases that you'd have to go in and clean out if you wanted to make sure to delete it all.
Records management then becomes the next big factor there that everybody's got to keep in mind, Jonathan.
That's right.
Where do you see this all headed? Are we on a positive trajectory for solving some of these challenges? And if so, that implies that then there'll probably be another one on the horizon that we don't anticipate today. Is that the view that you take too?
Well, I mean, you're right that there are always going to be challenges. I do think that one thing we need to do is sometimes step back and not just try to look at existing point solutions and applying them in a patchwork situation. What we really want to do and what we're trying to do here at the Maryland Cybersecurity Center is do academic research on developing the next generation of solutions. So, for example, developing methods by which you can create software that's maybe inherently more secure and has fewer vulnerabilities, or developing encryption technologies that can be used to securely encrypt data so that even if it is compromised, it's useless to an attacker. And it's useful to, as I said, step back and think about what would be the optimal or the better solutions we can come up with, rather than just applying one by one the solutions that happen to exist today.
I note that in addition to being director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center, you are a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland. So you are on the front lines of an issue that my audience in the federal government thinks about and talks about and quite frankly worries about all the time, and that's where's the next generation of talent coming from. Should they be optimistic or pessimistic about both the volume and quality of talent that's coming, not just from Maryland, because I know they're all great, I know some of the kids that are there, but overall coming from academia and looking for jobs in the next half decade or so?
It's definitely a challenge. The demand is there, and it looks like the number of students that we have is not enough to satisfy the demand. On the other hand, you can see that a lot of universities are really ramping up their efforts in this area. They're creating more programs. They're educating more students. And so we can hope that down the road we'll find an equilibrium.
Do you have the ability to shape your curricula in such a way that you'll be able to meet whatever needs that agencies and contractors and private sector companies, too, have in the coming 5 to 10 years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have different programs tailored for different students. We have, of course, educational programs at the undergraduate level, but then we also offer a master's program in cybersecurity, and we're continually refining that based on what industry and government are looking for.